Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. Joining us right now, author Michelle Malkin. So excited to have her on the show. Good morning, Michelle.
Morning, Tara.
Awesome. So it was so cool to meet you in person, too, in Washington. That was super exciting.
Yeah.
Tell us about your new book, because you take a look, you dig into immigration like nobody else does, the scams, the schemes. What is the worst thing, the thing in that book, man, that just gets you so fired up?
You know what gets me fired up, and I know it will get your listeners' blood boiling, too. It's the fact that their own tax dollars are going to subsidize a worldwide human smuggling racket. That's what I call it. Now, if you're an Open Borders, Inc. propagandist, you say, well, we have a migration crisis, and your immediate default is that America should be the one to solve it all. Well, no. That has never been the intention of our founding fathers, and in fact, fundamental precept of founding our nation is sovereignty, the idea that we can determine who we let in, how many, where they come from, what attributes they bring. And because of this tax-subsidized racket, we've completely lost control, and that is intentional. And when I talk about the tax subsidies, I'm talking about the billions of dollars that are being poured into things like the refugee resettlement racket. For most people, when they think about what's wrong with immigration, they tend to immediately think about the southern border. And there's no question about it. That's been a deliberate paralysis over building walls and fences and obstructions that prevent so many millions of people from trespassing across those borders. But there are many legal ways that people are being redistributed into our country, and 3 million of them have come through the refugee program. The problem is that this is a pet project of the United Nations and the State Department, our State Department, many of them deep staters, helps subsidize and arrange for the relocation of people from around the world. And many religious agencies, nonprofit charities, get lucrative contracts to collaborate with the UN to fundamentally transform cities and counties and entire states across our country by demographic overwhelming. And all you have to do is look at the Twin Cities, and you know there are many places in South Carolina itself and the entire South, the Eastern Seaboard, across flyover country that have been changed because of the redistribution of these refugees. And guess what? Local communities had zero input into the process.
It's absolutely now, maddening. One of the things that you wrote about in here, and I believe it started with the Bush administration, was how the federal government was aiding illegal immigrants using banks.
Oh, yes, that's right. And I have pinpointed pretty much every single financial institution in the country that is making money off of remittances, which are sent back by illegal aliens who are breaking our laws, working here illegally. Of course, employers almost never get punished for doing it. And when there are employment raids, the entire illegal alien lobby goes nuts, along with big business interests and, unfortunately, many open borders Republicans. That money gets sent back to the families of these illegal aliens in their home countries, and the financial institutions get a cut. Well, it's not just private financial institutions, but the Federal Reserve itself runs one of these remittance programs called Directo a Mexico. And I described this shocking scene where the Federal Reserve and local and state government officials in Minnesota were holding carnivals and fairs to recruit illegal alien clients into this racket.
Yeah, and you wrote extensively about that, about the Federal Reserve Program, where they literally, it's a program to help illegals send the remittances, the money they earn illegally here, back home. And it started during the Bush administration. Michelle, why? Why would they do that? Why would the federal government help them send the money home?
Yeah, follow the money, find the truth. The remittance program does generate billions of dollars, and then everyone who helps operate this scam gets a piece of it. It's all about getting your own cut. And, you know, for the service of the almighty dollar and the unrelenting pursuit of that, you've got these big business interests, you've got the federal government itself, the Federal Reserve, colluding with, you know, the usual suspects on the open borders left. And I wish I could tell my conservative viewers and readers and listeners that it was all George Soros's fault. And I have an entire chapter on George Soros as the CEO of Open Borders, Inc. However, he couldn't do it alone.
Talking to Michelle Malkin, I love your books, about her new book, Open Borders, Inc. When you say he couldn't do it alone, one of the interesting things, I point this out to people all the time, if you're just looking at the news the last couple of days, and they say, well, you know, we've now matched a 12-year-old all-time high of illegals matched on the border. Well, you go back 12 years, that's not the Obama administration. That's the Bush administration.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, you'll recall the very pitched battles that grassroots immigration patriots, like the ones who attend the annual Hold the Feet to Their Fire rally and an event that we were just at in Washington, D.C., had to wage against Republicans. It was Karl Rove. It was the Chamber of Commerce. It was many of these Fortune 500 companies. And that was 13 years ago when we were fighting those battles, and we won. And then, of course, with the election of President Trump, we helped stave off more blanket amnesties. But for how long? Right now, there are farm lobbyists who are collaborating with both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party to craft another farm worker amnesty, like the ones that we saw during the Reagan years in 1986. And many of these lobbyists, business lobbyists, I saw backstage at CPAC in February pressuring me to support expansion of temporary guest worker pipelines for cheap foreign IT workers. And when I say temporary, I say it with the most dripping sarcasm ever, because there's no such thing as a temporary program benefiting either legal or illegal immigrants.
Talking to Michelle Malkin, and she is the author of the book Open Borders, Inc. Really appreciate you joining us today. You have recently kind of, if I'm reading this correctly, had your own bit of a dust up with the president, with Donald Trump. Tell me about it.
Well, I don't know if it was the president himself personally, but the Trump Organization, which runs Mar-a-Lago Hotel in Palm Beach, recently canceled an event that I was supposed to headline, where I was going to talk about the existential threat that Open Borders, Inc. faces to our country. I had been invited to this event, which had been scheduled for November 7th, by my dear friend Brigitte Gabrielle, who runs the grassroots organization dedicated to exposing the roots and the agenda of radical Islam, called Act for America. And all it took was the Southern Poverty Law Center stirring up its manufactured hate claims against Brigitte's group and against me. It was picked up, this so-called story, this slime attack, by the Miami Herald, and then echoed by every other Open Borders media echo machine. And within hours, literally within hours of the Miami Herald story being published, Mar-a-Lago sent an email that I quote exclusively in my latest column, which you can read at michellemalkin.com, that the Mar-a-Lago Club strives to only host events that are in line with its quote-unquote culture. And I wonder, given my advocacy against Open Borders, Inc. and Brigitte's lifelong work exposing radical Islam, whether President Trump himself would be able to meet the standards of the club, given his advocacy of protecting our country against these forces.
Talking to Michelle Malkin, Michelle, I've got one quick question for you. You've been documenting this for years as our country's flooded with illegals. As you know, all it's going to take is one amnesty and we lose the country. We'll never have a Republican president again. Texas flips to blue. Florida flips to blue. North Carolina flips to blue. Georgia flips to blue, and it's over. Or they can do it in a slower way through births over a couple of generations. Is it too late? Is the country done demographically in terms of these groups. We have selected to let in groups that vote Democrat in an 80% plus rate, and to disallow groups that don't do that from entering the country. I think that's been on purpose. So, I mean, are we done demographically?
Well, you look at the fact that Texas is going to turn blue and that we will be a majority-minority country by 2045. I don't think it's late to try and turn back some of the forces, and maybe it's a matter of slowing things down rather than, complete victory at this point. But demographically, this was always the intention all along of these Open Borders Inc. forces. And let me give you one last parting statistic from Open Borders Inc. The percent of congressional districts with an above-average foreign-born population that have gone Democrat is nearly 90%. And so the Open Borders Inc. propaganda from Republicans that, we'll be able to turn this all around, they'll vote Republican. Well, the numbers just don't bear that up.
No, I mean, the Republicans have literally allowed the destruction of their party. I mean, they could have insisted on immigration that was diverse and balanced from a political perspective in terms of how the immigrants vote. But I mean, we're seeing legal immigration, illegal immigration. The largest groups coming in, Michelle, all have one thing in common. They vote Democrat at an over 80% rate, and those excluded do not.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think what we really need here are grassroots immigration enforcement patriots to take back the party. And that's what this, huge fissure has been between the Trump immigration enforcement faction and the old line establishment GOP swamp that has enriched itself at the altar of open borders.
Well, Michelle, I've read part of your book. I'm looking forward to finishing it. Open Borders, Inc. Michelle Malkin, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 106.3 WORD.
You bet. Great to see you.
You too.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's see what's going on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, people send me really weird texts sometimes. Texter writes, why did the CIA train and outfit the rebels? This went on in Turkey. I was talking about this last hour, and honestly, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, I am absolutely thrilled that Lindsey Graham finally wants to take action against Turkey with tough sanctions. I think it's awesome. Throw the toughest sanctions that we can come up with at them, cripple their economy. Problem is, it should have been done years ago. But there's a reason why people like Lindsey Graham did not want to throw crippling sanctions at Turkey when it would have mattered. Because the CIA was too busy training the jihadists there, who we would come to know as ISIS. We called them the moderate rebels, which was the biggest joke ever. I've got a post on this up on my Facebook page, and it's a post about something. The source I used was Wikipedia, because I wanted something really neutral. I know when I tell you that the CIA trained the jihadist and armed the jihadist that you've come to know as ISIS, that's kind of a takes you back a step, and I get that. If you're new to hearing that, I know that sounds a little nuts. I get it, but I want you to read it. It was called Operation Timber Sycamore, and it happened not only in Turkey, but it also happened in Jordan. And the lie was that they were moderate rebels. They were never moderate. They were always jihadist. And these guys took off across Syria, and they slaughtered the Christians, the Kurds, and the Yazidis, and the Shia. Shia Muslims were slaughtered by them, too, because they were Sunni. And I've been telling you about them for years. Years and years and years and years. While the CIA was actively training. And this was not a secret that this was going on. And it tells the whole story of the operation on this Wikipedia page. It's a really good summary there. And it doesn't specifically say, oh, by the way, these guys were ISIS. They were. They are. The CIA in Turkey, with the help of Turkey, also flooded the black market of Syria and Iraq with weapons. They put these weapons in jihadist hands. And if you look at who is fighting in Syria, who did the genocides, who put 15,000 Christians in a single mass grave? Well, it was jihadist fighters. ISIS was fighting there, yes. Al-Qaeda was fighting there, yes. Along with tens of thousands of other jihadists that fought alongside them, and they were in different groups from different countries with different names, but they were all the same. They were all the same thing, all the same stripe. We armed them, we trained them, and I'm here to tell you that without the CIA training them, arming them, and I've always believed coordinating them on the battlefield, they would have never been able to fight us in any sort of meaningful way. Do you doubt me? Remember when you saw the Toyota stream across the desert and that gripping panic with the smiles on their face? They were headed toward Iraq. And do you remember when the Iraqi president begged us to please send the, fighter jets they had ordered from us? Because they wanted to blow them up before they got to Iraq. And we didn't send them. They'd paid for them. We weren't even footing a bill. They'd paid for them. We could have bombed them into oblivion when they rode on those Toyotas across the desert to invade Iraq and Syria, but we did not. Because they were ours. They were our fighters. We'd trained them. Go look at the record. Lindsey Graham couldn't get himself enough of the moderate rebels. John McCain was pictured beside two of them, who turned out to be terrorists. That's who we armed and trained. These are our guys. And nobody did more to help than Turkey. Nobody did, and nobody cared. All these voices in Washington screaming and yelling, "Oh, save the Kurds!" Whatever. So what are they really so upset about? Didn't care about the Christians, didn't care about the Yazidis, didn't care about the Shia when our fighters were killing them. But now they care all of a sudden. They're pretending they want to kill these moderate rebel fighters they now call ISIS. What are they upset about? They don't care about the Kurds. Trust me, they don't. They want to get bases, troops, equipment, anything on the ground there to keep a beachhead so that as soon as Trump's gone, the CIA can go right back in and continue training our enemies. Why? Because they're a proxy army. They're a proxy army. So wait, we send our soldiers in to fight the very ISIS, jihad, assorted jihadists we trained? Yeah, we do. Well, wait a minute. Why do we send our soldiers into slaughter at their hands? Because our soldiers are used, our Marines are used to contain them. We don't want them getting too crazy. Just big enough to use as a proxy army. It's got to stop. Okay, I get it now. We've seen this strategy before, Lee.
Okay.
Remember, we have to pass it to find out what's in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We heard that about Obamacare.
Yeah, that worked out awesome. And it turns out we didn't really like what was in it.
No.
No. Well, this is we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Impeachment.
So that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we have no idea why we're impeaching the president because it's a secret. It's very secret. Well, and so we had to impeach him to find out.
Maybe that's because there's nothing there that they've been claiming is there.
Right. None of it. All of it has bitten the dust. So we don't get to know who accuses him. It doesn't matter that all of what the whistleblower has claimed is not accurate, has now been debunked, mainly by the transcript, but particularly by, how many times am I going to have to see the president of Ukraine on television going, "Dude, I don't know what y'all are talking about. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
I wasn't blackmailed. There was no quid pro quo. I didn't even know he had ended the, funding of this stuff that, Ukraine was getting from U.S. taxpayers when he talked to me on July 25th.
So when the victim and primary witness denies that anything ever happened, is there a crime?
No.
Well.
No, I mean, I don't see how. I mean, it's just be like if the police are like, "We're digging into this bank robbery." And the bank's like, "We got all the money right here. We weren't robbed." No, no, no. Are you sure? Check again. No, really, we weren't robbed. I mean, and it's not just the president of Ukraine. It's the ambassador to Ukraine, who testified behind closed doors. And Adam Schiff won't tell you this. The Federalists had to get the leaked documentation, but even the ambassador said extensively. It didn't happen. I would know. I deal with Ukraine officials every day. I would have been cutting this deal. There was no quid pro quo. I mean, he couldn't say it enough times. He released all of the messages unredacted, like contemporaneously, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of text messages showing them going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth for weeks. And this just didn't happen. It didn't. There's nothing there. And even if there was, it's not illegal. It's not there. Well, now we find this out. This is coming out now. The whistleblower. Here's to me, the biggest question here, again, is the one asked on Lou Dobbs by Michael Goodwin, the Pulitzer Prize winning columnist at the New York Post, and Ed Rollins. What the heck were two? We now it's two CIA agents. They call them agents in movies. They're off. They're called officers in real life. CIA officers doing at the White House. Did Trump know they were there? Because if Trump didn't know they were there, that's a big problem. That's spying. And the only way they could be there domestically on our soil spying on Trump was if the attorney general were notified by the DNI and it was approved by the attorney general. It's that extreme for them to be spying on U.S. soil. That's my question. I want to know why. Now we find out this one, the first whistleblower. Remember we were warned by the Inspector General, Michael Atkinson. We were told that the first anonymous whistleblower, who's actually a CIA operative, was a registered Democrat and had a bias in favor of a rival political candidate. Well, now we find out first we were told, well, the bias is he was a registered Democrat. And the Democrats said, oh, see, that's not fair. Just because you're a registered Democrat doesn't mean you can't be a patriot. Well, now we're finding out that the whistleblower under questioning from Republicans during last Friday's impeachment inquiry behind closed doors is now leaked out. This is the interview with the Inspector General, Michael Atkinson, another person who would know, by the way, revealed that the whistleblower's bias was that he was not simply a registered Democrat, but that he has a significant tie to one of the Democrat presidential candidates currently running.
Mild case of, an influence there.
Yeah. And we're supposed to believe this person is credible without learning what is the tie to the current presidential candidate. Who is he? What is his background? Oh, and here's the other one. Where I'm like, I can't even believe this is being accepted as credible by the media. Do you know who else he has ties to? James Clapper.
Well, there you go.
According to the Inspector General. And that is one of three guys who's under investigation by who right now? Oh, the Trump administration's attorney general. So, I mean, this is a joke. I mean, my God, they might have just had Biden's mama spy on Trump from the White House. Just send her in there and, you know what I mean? And be like, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. This is ridiculous. These people are not credible. The only investigation we need to be doing here is what the heck were these CIA officers doing inside the White House listening to the president?
But no one's asking that question.
No, they're not. They're not. And by the way, great guest the other day on Lou Dobbs talking about this. This is a classic feedback loop where what the CIA does, like when they want to get, court permission to spy on somebody, is they have one agent talk to another and say, we have two sources. Well, that's because the first agent told the second agent a story. And this is supposed to be credible. You know what kills me here, too? Okay, the irony. Apparently the problem with Trump is that he attempted to launch an investigation, to hear the Democrats tell it, into a political rival using his government influence to do that, right?
Right, his office. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that not exactly what the Democrats are doing right now?
Yeah.
They're using their offices, the full might of our intel agencies, everyone but Biden's mama and maybe her, to do what? Investigate the president. To do what? Influence an election. Exactly what they're accusing him of. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay for us, but not for you.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
Anyway, talking about this earlier in the show, I am thrilled. I couldn't be happier to see Lindsey Graham and others propose really tough sanctions on Turkey. I hope they whip that through Congress. I hope they're crushing. It's about time.
Turkey is definitely a bad actor.
Oh, bad actor. Bad, 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 bad. Let's not forget who first proposed the crushing sanctions. That would be Trump. So the media is, once again, they're confusing everybody with this story, acting like, oh, that's Congress trying to stop Trump there by slapping some sanctions on Turkey. No, Trump proposed that days ago on his Twitter feed. crushing sanctions, I will wreck your economy, I think is what
he said. That, at the outset of this.
Yeah, to Turkey, I mean,
about the
invasion.
At the very moment that he mentioned pulling out these troops, he said, and if the Turks do this, then this is what I'm going to do.
Right. So this idea that like Trump was like, hey, go ahead, invade Syria. No, I love that. No, I mean, you can tell that reading his Twitter feed, the dates, the times are there. And so the media is now spinning this like, well, Congress trying to stop Trump with these sanctions, man. No, they were his idea.
You know, and listen, I think the jury's still out on whether this is going to work. I mean, let's just
face
it. We don't know.
I don't know.
And I have some doubts about this, whether this is the best decision or not. Even though I don't want those troops there, I never wanted them there to begin with. And of course, it was Obama that got us into this. But I see criticism of Trump about, oh, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I want to say, so all these people before him had really good grasp on it. That's why we're in the mess we're in now.
Again, Obama left us a 40,000 strong caliphate between Iraq and Syria that was not there when he took office.
Yeah, because he wanted to call them a JV team.
Right. And John Kerry is on record saying, well, we're not going to kill him. We're going to just contain him.
And thank goodness Mad Dog Mattis was around long enough to take care of that.
Yeah, 9 months it took for Trump, Putin, and the troops of both countries to wipe that off the face of the earth. So the bottom line, the reason I repeat that all the time is because Obama could have easily done it. He chose not to.
But I am very concerned about the appearance of this, the way it looks like to the Kurds, because these people have been allies of this country and our troops and our Marines and our airmen in such a very serious way. I mean, they have literally put their lives and their existence of their people on the line to assist this country. And I realize that some of them have done things, they probably shouldn't have done too. But I'm just concerned about the long-term impact this is going to have. I think that's one criticism that Senator Graham is making that I agree with, that this may not turn out well for any future operations that we may have because of this.
And I will say this too, the messaging here from Trump, particularly in the last, I thought he was doing okay in the beginning of the week, the last 24 hours, the thing about Normandy, I was like, what? I mean, the messaging's been terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? No, you're confusing the issue. That's not the deal. I mean, New York Post pointed out in an article I posted on my Facebook page. I mean, everybody's saying that, the troops fought for us, the Kurds fought for us, and now we're abandoning them, for ISIS. Well, no, they've been fighting. They were fighting Al-Qaeda before they were fighting ISIS. I mean, we helped them fight them. We armed them and we trained them. They didn't arm us and train us. We helped them. They didn't help us when they didn't need to. They desperately needed our help, and I'm glad we gave it to them.
Yeah.
But the idea that they stepped up and did something for us and now we owe them is such a twisting of the history. I don't want to see a single one of them killed. But no, we were there. We were there. The 50 were there as it was, because what were we doing? We were still arming and training them to this day. They weren't arming and training us.
Well, the point I guess I'm trying to make is that there's a lot of criticism about Trump for doing things that are outside the box, so to speak, diplomatically, militarily. And I'm not saying that everything he's done is right or everything was going to work. But the question I have is, how well has it worked out for the way we've been doing it, the status quo? That's why this world is in such a mess. That's why we've got the Middle East. That's why we've got this conflict with Russia, with China, the issues we've got in Indonesia, the situation with India, Pakistan, and Kashmir. That's why all these things are there, because we're still dealing with World War I diplomacy and military concepts without having some type of other viewpoint of how we get out of entangling ourselves in all these alliances.
Texter writes, don't we want Turkey to stop the Russians? See, I'm waiting any minute. I'm waiting. Assad has already issued a warning to Turkey to knock it off. Well, that's not coming from Assad. That's coming from Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia has a superior air force. They could mop the floor with Turkey tomorrow if they want. They say, don't we want Turkey to stop the Russians? If so, why would we sanction Turkey? We're sanctioning Turkey because we don't want human rights abuses.
Yeah.
They do not need to be doing that kind of thing. Ultimately, I'm not going to predict this because heck if I know what will happen next. Ultimately, do not be surprised if the Russians step up and fight, take it to the Turks. Because don't forget, the Turks are their partners in fighting ISIS as well. I just don't see Vladimir Putin, especially not at home. all the blood and treasure he's sunk into Syria, going to let the Turks push him around? I don't see it. I am waiting for those planes to hit the air. And I think we're about to see a war between Turkey and Russia in Syria. And I'm not entirely sure. Well, I'm not going to go any further than that.
Just
wait. Assad's already issued the warning. I won't be surprised if Russia fights this battle for us and we never had to fire a shot. Just wait. All right, Texter writes, hey, Tara, please make peace with West before you go off, the air today. We the people need to stick together. I've always liked West. I'm not going to concede to using InfoWars as a source on this show. However, when they get something right, like they did in a spectacular fashion, actually, about the Vegas shooter, they forced the FBI with their reporting to retract its timeline. I'm going to give them credit, and I did it at the time. It's a great reporting job. Unfortunately, they are not to be trusted on a lot of stuff. They have reported some really wacky stuff and had to pay out lawsuits in court because of the stuff they reported. I know Wes wants me to use InfoWars as a source, and I can't. I can't do that. And I'm sorry, and I wish I could. I wish they'd clean up their newsroom to the point where they really do the stellar stuff every day and not the other junk. But they don't. They haven't. They have been way ahead of the curve on some things, and I've played quite a few Paul Joseph Watson clips. I don't know. Wes is very angry at me because he says I should use InfoWars as a source and give them credit for stuff. And like I've been saying this stuff, as I pointed out to him back since 2003 about the deep state. And I know that upsets Wes. He wants me to credit Alex Jones. I don't know what Alex Jones was saying in 2003. And I get that he's a big fan of Alex Jones, but I know what I was saying in 2003, and we're good. So I like Wes, and I hope he'll continue to listen to the show and maybe eventually call in again when he calms down someday. But yeah, should be interesting to see how that goes going forward. I want to address one more thing here, okay? So I want to ask Lindsey Graham a favor here and give him a little bit of political advice. Sir, eventually people are going to figure you out. Maria Bartiromo got real close to it this week on Fox Business. And, you know, Senator Graham, you're out there now. Your latest thing is brilliant political move for your campaign, threatening to call Ambassador Volker to testify in your Senate Judiciary Committee, before the Senate Judiciary Committee, if House Dems fail to release the deposition's transcripts. Well, sir, we have those. The Federalists got those. Call him now. No, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You haven't held, sir, a single hearing on any of this FISA abuse, Hillary's emails, deep state, any of it. Now you're going to do it with impeachment. Well, I'm going to call him. No, not I'm going to do it today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.